And on the line I have Catherine Megan, CEO of the Royal Institute of the Architects of Ireland. Good afternoon, Catherine. How are you?
Good afternoon. Very good, thank you. Very good.
Okay, now what's happening today?
So we're down at the RDS at the RIAI's annual conference. It's one of the biggest events in the construction sector each year, with over 600 delegates. And this year we're looking at three of the key issues facing the country at the moment: climate change, housing and placemaking. And we're looking at new models for delivering housing, looking at examples from the States, from other European countries, as to how they've addressed an increasing populations and changing demographics.
Okay, and so climate change, a lot of people sort of don't equate that with building to a fair extent as they're being built. They think about it afterwards and the house is done and they're cold and they haven't gotten insulation done properly. But there's more of an emphasis now than ever before.
Absolutely. And climate change, there's so many different sides to it. But one of them is what kind of houses we build and where we build them. Because we need to ensure, we've got an extra million people predicted to be living on the island of Ireland in the next 40 to 50 years. And we have to make sure that they're not having to spend 3 to 4 hours each day in cars or on trains or buses getting to work. So we need to look at new models where people are living close to amenities. And that is one of the core skills of the architectural profession, is looking at designing high quality places where people can live. Does mean we'll need higher densities, closer to railway stations, bus stations, closer to shops and schools. But it's how we do that, and to do that in a way that works for Irish people and the way Irish people want to live. So there's lots of models we're looking at, as I say, that have been delivered across Europe. And I think that we have an awful lot to learn. We don't need necessarily high-rise buildings here, but we do need high-density living, good quality high-density living that enables people to have really good access to all of the amenities that they want.
Okay. And over the years in the building, there seemed to be a little bit of neglect to the extent, I mean, there's supposed to be someone that's policing all of this, but to an extent, the places where huge housing estates were built and stuff like that. I remember reading an article back around, I think it was around 2007, 2008 in the Times, and it was a guy from the Netherlands, and I actually got him on the programme, and he couldn't believe the way things were happening. He said, what's wrong with Ireland and the way they're building? There's no consistency and there's no cohesion attached to people's way of life and living at all. Would you have agreed with that then?
Yeah, I mean, we had a very significant change in regulations in 2014, and there is a new regime in the way in which buildings are inspected. So in terms of the quality of the actual build, I think that there has been a very significant change in that. And we all hope that we will never see the kind of crisis that we have seen and issues we've seen in the past. But in terms of the kind of houses we're delivering and where they are, that's our key challenge now. Mm-hmm. We really need to have well-designed, high-quality places that people want to live in, that are, as I say, close to the amenities. And I think that we have the skills and we have the people to do it. We just need to start seeing examples and showing people, because I think there is a certain amount of fear that people would have that that we are going to have very high-rise buildings, or that's all that's being put forward. And it's absolutely not. We need to have, I mean, 3, 4, 5-storey buildings can deliver very high quality, good places to live. But we also need to recognise that the family sizes are changing. And we have a huge number of houses now that are underoccupied, where you've got older people, the empty nesters. And while nobody is saying, ever look at forcing people out, we need to give people alternatives. So again, this comes back to the density issue of looking at ways of designing smaller units within communities, so people, if they decide they do want to trade down, they've got somewhere close to where they've always lived and close to their friends.
I think that's the big thing though. Sorry, I think it's the big thing there in as regards to that. If people do decide to downsize, they'd have to have somewhere within their community as well. That's the big thing about it, isn't it?
It's absolutely key. I mean, to move people as they age, or to try and encourage them to move out of their community would be, it would be disastrous. You really do need to keep people where, as I say, they have all their friends and their supports. And there are examples. I know Dunleary County Council had some family apartments that and flats that they have had for the last 30 or 40 years. And in a very small corner site, they took 8 of the existing family units and they turned them into 16 really stunning award-winning mm-hmm. apartments now for older people. So people who were living in family-sized apartments have been able to move within the same estate and now have somewhere that is A-rated, suitable to their current needs, but they have all of the linkages that they've always had. And it's that kind of development we need. I mean, there is an issue at the moment that people are quite concerned about when they see planning permissions going up, that they don't want more development in their own area. And I think we're going to need to move beyond that because our choices are becoming quite stark. Either we're going to have to build and build within our towns and communities, or we're going to have to continue building on green fields mm-hmm. and having people commuting further and further. And that is the one thing that I think we all need to push against. We okay. need people to be living in towns and communities.
Okay, that's the sense of a really location as well, isn't it? And people's attitude would have to change. And as regards legislation and the actual building of the houses, how strict is that as regards like what we're talking about the future? And we don't have to worry about getting insulation. It'll all be done. The house will be built as it should have been built. Is that mandatory?
It is, and the standards that architects now have to design to and builders have to build to are increasing all of the time. There's significant changes coming in towards the end of this year, which looking at buildings being near zero energy buildings, which is an incredibly high standard. That does mean that we have to support architects and the building sector innovating, support research. The Institute is working with some other bodies calling on government to support a centre for research in the built environment. I think it is key. It's very complex to build buildings now, and we need to have government support for that so that we are looking to deliver the best.
Why is it taking so long to the extent of, I mean, you mentioned that 2014, the change in legislation and stuff like that. Why has it taken so long, for all the safety issues when you think of some of the blights that have appeared on our landscape over the past couple of years?
Well,
and the problems that you're actually seeing now, that are manifesting themselves now in a lot of apartments, like with all sorts of things wrong with them and for safety and stuff like that. Sorry.
Well, most of those schemes were pre-BCAR, which is that regulation that we spoke about mm-hmm. that I mentioned that came in 2014. So our belief is that the new regime is robust. It's very onerous on architects and on all of those involved, but we believe it's needed and it's correct. There is one piece that we would still call on government to bring in, and that is the registration of contractors. So currently there is a voluntary register called CIRI, C-I-R-I, but we would like that the government would bring that in on a statutory basis so that all of those who are involved in building houses or any other building, that there's been a test of their skill and competence, and that if somebody is not performing to the standard that is needed, that a complaint can be made and they could be taken off that register.
Okay.
So I think for the general public, that is a key issue in terms of achieving the quality that we all want.
Okay, and examining the buildings, like especially massive estates that you still see going up, there's loads of them around the Fingal area going up around yes. the place. Examinations of them, people going out, is there enough people there for doing that?
Well, the oversight of those would be by the what is called the assigned certifier, who is going out to inspect and see that the works are complying, and they are taking on, that is generally the architect or sometimes an engineer.
Mm.
It is a very onerous task that they are taking on that responsibility. So the amount of inspections that are being done by the architects and engineers would have increased quite significantly, and the detail that those involved in the buildings are providing to them has also increased. And then on the public sector side, the local authorities have a regime now where if they have any concerns about a particular building type or scale of building, or if they've had complaints about a builder or any or architect or anyone involved in a particular building, they will go out and check those. They red flag them within the system, and they will go out and check them. So, again, we're hoping that all of this will lead to better standards.
Do we need more inspectors? That's a, I mean, it's heavy on them, it's onerous and stuff like that. Could we do with more inspectors? Would that alleviate the problem?
My understanding is that the local authorities have a number of inspectors now. I mean, we're obviously going through a building boom at the moment, so I'm sure that the internal resources are quite stretched. But I think that they are fairly well covered at the moment.
Okay. So at the conference today, so far, I mean, only halfway through, I imagine, optimism coming out. Can you get a feeling of that?
Yes, I mean, people are really excited about the new possibilities that we have in terms of the kind of housing and buildings that we're seeing here today. We just need to ensure that we've got the mechanisms, the state mechanisms, that will support that and that will help to drive innovation, and that we don't end up just defaulting back to the 3 and 4 bed semi-D.
Mm-hmm. And how much do people, you know, the small little individual buildings that people do, you see a lot of houses now that had originally big gardens and they're building houses in the garden and stuff like that. Is there enough inspection on those as well?
Again, they have to comply. They have to comply with...
I know they have to comply, but are there enough inspections? How much do they have to go forward?
There is an exemption for single houses in the legislation. It's called SI 365.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be a concern that people will look to save money when they're building a house or an extension and not get the professional advice that they need and not get the assigned certifier to come in and check all of the building as it's progressing. But they still have an obligation to meet the building standards. But if they're not having it inspected, there could be difficulties. And we would advise that anybody who is doing building work gets professional advice. It is complicated. It is complex. There are so many people involved in putting buildings together now that it is really important that they get the right advice.
Okay, we'll leave it on that note. We've run out of time. But listen, it's been a great pleasure talking to you, and I'll let you get back to the conference. But thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad to hear that you're optimistic about the future anyway. That's a good note to end on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Catherine. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Catherine Megan, and she's the CEO of the Royal Institute of the Architects of Ireland.